Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And it just became second nature to me to call the dog and refer to the dog, as I do to this day, 60 years later, as the Puna. The Puna was a beagle.
Was there any pushback from your parents being like, what is this nonsense about the Puna? They said, no, you just run.
My parents were a little afraid of me. My parents thought, this is a weird child. Let's just indulge the things that don't cause us any particular pain.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, so we got the Super Bowl, and we're going to talk to Will Bonnens for Luga about the Super Bowl. I don't have to waste a lot of time with that, except to tell you what I've said on radio and television for 2 weeks. It's very, very simple. I said I thought Philadelphia was the better team, more complete team. But if you give me 2 points and Patrick Mahomes, I'm going to take it every time. So I think I got that one right. So the rest of you, leave me alone. I need to talk about Rihanna briefly. My son explained Rihanna to me. I didn't really get it. I don't really know Rihanna.
Don't bring me into this.
No, you said
I don't really get it.
The first thing I see this morning, the first thing you say is, I didn't get it.
I didn't get Rihanna.
What didn't you get? 20 years of hits?
I'm unfamiliar with her oeuvre. I am. I don't know anything about her.
Umbrella, Song of the Summer? Come on.
I don't know.
Diamonds?
She's a billionaire.
1.3 billion.
Yeah.
God bless her, right? Yeah. You like her?
I thought it was good. Okay. Yeah, I enjoy. I don't actively listen to her music, but like I watched that whole.
So Chris, I was entertained. How quickly was your household asking the obvious question?
Was she pregnant?
Yes.
Within 10 seconds.
And then asking yourself, is it okay to ask the question?
I will tell you, I did not ask that question to the social media universe fear of being.
But I
drummed.
People worked around it by saying, "Please tell me that's not a baby bump, and that's another album that she's waiting to drop."
She is in fact pregnant, and I think. There was a screw up in the initial. I read this somewhere. There was a screw up in the initial shot that it was supposed to linger on her longer so she could do the kind of like baby bump thing. So it would be like blatantly more obvious.
All I thought about during her whole performance was, my God, is she going to fall off this platform?
Terrifying.
I didn't know she was pregnant. Now that I know she's pregnant, I would have been more terrified.
She was taking breaks in between songs. It was fantastically staged.
There was 500 dancers?
Yes. The Oompa Loompas.
There was a point.
The what?
The Oompa Loompas. Loompas.
What are Oompa Loompas?
From Willy Wonka.
Yeah, Willy Wonka. Oompa Loompa.
Yes, so good. There was a point where she was up on the... I was similarly terrified.
Terrified. Oh, yeah.
And there was a point where she was up on it where it was clearly rocking. Like it had, it was moving.
What
yes, it was
so,
towards the
and
end.
I was like,
what are we doing?
I hope that's a drone that's adding that in rather than, you know,
like RFK where the seats used to go
we
up.
We want yes.
I just thought, what are you doing up there? Like I couldn't distinguish any song from any other song or any word from any other word. And I just looked and I went, I was praying she'd get down safely. And I certainly didn't know she was pregnant at the time. But this is a minor thing. I like to talk about commercials. Will Bond is going to say he hated every single commercial. He hated them all. I saw Tony Romo played the Bill Murray part.
So they've been teasing that one for a couple weeks now. Yes. Tony Romo getting a lot of play.
Tony Romo, Will Ferrell was in an electric vehicle ad.
Right.
Steve Martin and Ben Stiller for Zero Coke. I saw Zero Pepsi. I thought that was okay. There was something for... the farmer's dog, a dog commercial that I liked a lot. There was that woman who I love, who's in all the Christopher Guest movies, and she put stuff on her face. And
Jennifer Coolidge.
Then it began to stick to her face. And I loved the, I don't know what it was for, but I loved it.
She is in White Lotus, too.
And she's become a big thing on the award show. Circuit.
Yeah, just won Golden Globes, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Huge.
Like great speeches.
So whatever she was endorsing or not endorsing.
What did you think of... I
hated the big pizza thing. Pizza Hut stinks to begin with. Why do you make it bigger?
What did you think of the ad with the dog who is sad that the owners leave?
That's the farmer's
you
dog.
You like that one.
I was upset with the owners, but I thought it was a very effective
ad. The turning when they Amazon the crate and you start to go, you can't give that dog up. That's your family dog.
Yeah,
and then you realize
it's a puppy.
I just really, I like that one. There was an early one where people played Adam and Eve, and I saw
that was the avocado ad.
I liked that
one. Yeah, I did too.
But most of the ads for me, I didn't like, and only because they seemed to be hawking movies.
Yeah.
So I don't care about that. It's meaningless to me.
Yep.
I was looking for something creative. Maybe I missed, in the past years, the Anheuser-Busch ads with either Dalmatians or the Clydesdales.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of those. I may have missed that.
They had a very cute Miles Teller Bud Light commercial late in the game.
Okay.
Dancing with his
Right, and I felt like it was just a window into millennial life.
Was that the one with the mom? Who was it? Bradley Cooper and his mom?
Yeah, that was
very
good.
What was that?
It just kept going on.
What exactly?
A payday for Bradley Cooper's mom.
Yes.
I just didn't... I didn't get it. I actively didn't like that.
No.
Because I wondered at first if that was Ellen Barkin and she'd gotten to be 80 years old.
Did you see what opened the game? Bennifer?
Oh, yeah.
Picks you up a glazed?
I only like that because it reminded me of Casey Affleck doing the Dunkin' Donuts bit.
So this is the... Well, that was the ad for the Matt Damon movie.
Air.
Right.
There was that.
That was, and that's about Phil Knight.
Yes. Starting of Nike. Yes.
Wow.
I know.
Matt Damon plays Phil Knight.
Kind of excited to see that.
And Ben Affleck directed it and he's in it.
Yep.
You know,
when I first saw the commercial for that, I thought it was a satire about about like spy
like a
thriller,
like a Kimmel
Jason.
Skit.
Yeah.
As soon as you put my son in those shoes.
So that was.
Did you see the one?
I love the TurboTax commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. So that you're allowed to go out and do whatever
you
want
to do. Dancing by the fountains.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that
too.
Yeah, yes. I like that too.
Yes.
So you can do whatever you want.
I enjoyed that enormously.
Did you see were you up for the Breaking Bad one?
No.
Instead of making crystal meth, they're making Doritos.
Oh, okay.
And it's Walter White.
And it worked?
I thought that was my favorite one.
Did you see the one where Jack Harlow, I don't know.
I hated
the
Baby E-Trade ad. I hated that ad.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the toddlers talking?
Yes, and it was at a wedding.
That's not my stroller.
That was the kids. Those were the babies from like a couple years ago.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. Just
hated that.
Just doing the wedding circuit.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Yeah.
There are other things I hate. Oh, I hated the Serena ad for Remy Martin. I just hated it.
That's one of those you're trying
Serena's
to figure out what it's for halfway
ad.
Through.
Serena
She's
was
in
the
conflicting alcohol ads.
She was in the Caddyshack remake.
Yes.
Ad.
That was better.
I like that.
But the Remy Martin ad I thought was awful. Anyway,
there was an interesting ad for Crown Royal. Towards the end, that Dave Grohl was talking about all the great things that Canada brings.
I'm
sick
of him.
I'm not pitching him, but
he's
as he talked about
fighters, he never shuts up.
No, he likes to talk.
He's supposedly lovely. He's from here.
Yes, from Arlington.
But he just never.
I know.
He's Aaron Rodgers of rock and roll.
But
he's a really great performer, just like Aaron Rodgers.
I'll have to look it up, but listing all the things that Canada has like invented or provided, and it was an astonishing list of things.
Is he from Canada? I thought he was from Arlington.
Yeah, why is he doing a Canada bit?
Because it was Crown Royal, so he's
Canadian?
And I guess Crown Royal's Canadian.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, that was sort of a lovely ad.
Well,
there were less really good ones than past years.
They were trying to play a nostalgia, and you're trying to... I think they're too afraid to do comedy right now for these commercials, and you just look at
real comedy, which actually makes you laugh, which isn't allowed.
It's the Marvel universe. You're stuck trying to play on nostalgia, play on things that we get, like Zoolander from now 20 years ago.
Yeah,
and you're looking at it. You either go the funny route, the sentimental route, or you're trying to do something that goes beyond the bounds of the Super Bowl. So it's the commercials that lead in. Will Gronk make the field goal? Or even Rihanna, where you look at
did he make the field goal?
You look at when she takes the makeup break. That's her company. That's so cool.
Well,
did you see the Travolta ad?
No,
hated it.
Towards the end.
No.
I'm tired of those two guys.
It's the two guys from that show
Scrubs.
Yes, from Scrubs. And they're doing a Grease song. And I didn't recognize Travolta.
Neither did I. The shape.
I thought it was like
he
looks like Joe Rogan.
Yeah, he has no hair anymore.
But anyway, he was doing like they did that bit, which is to Michael's nostalgia point.
They're just playing up the.
It's not nostalgia for me. Well, that would be. Well,
that would be Grease.
Let me get to something here. Every day we shoot something down.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
What are we shooting down?
Four
things in the last 8 days.
I understood the big one, the balloon. I understood that. Now we're taking out anything that's up, like a kid's kite. You could take out. What are we doing now? You're in politics.
I think it's like a lot of things. We're overcorrecting. So I think the Biden administration took a significant amount of criticism for the balloon making its way across.
But I thought they had that under control the whole way.
Yes, but many people believe they should have shot it down over the Aleutian Islands in Alaska because that's when they realized that don't let it go across the continental United States.
Well, just jam the signals.
So now,
intercept the signals.
They may well have done that.
We're not stupid. We're smart.
Right.
Not dumb.
Not dumb.
Dumb. Smart.
Smart.
So I think now we're just shooting down anything. It's right. Either that or this is the beginning of Contact. This is the beginning of the alien.
Oh.
You know, lot of unidentified flying objects
out
there.
Then why would
there.
We shoot them down? I mean, if they
it's
were
true.
Aliens.
Totally agree. This is the leading edge.
So,
but yes, I think we're just overcorrecting for the fact that, like, this one balloon took 4 days and they got a lot of negative press for right. it. And so now it's like, if there's anything anywhere, we're shooting it down.
I'm not a right-wing guy. People listen to this show. They know I'm not a right-wing guy.
No.
Right.
There was one right-wing conspiracy theory that I thought was right on the money, turned out to be right, that how the virus was developed in China. Right?
Right?
That turned out to be right. That's a man... We think it's now a man-made virus, the coronavirus.
There is a huge amount of debate.
But I didn't think it was a crazy thing to say.
No, I don't think it's I don't think it's crazy. They still have not traced it, but it's not okay. insane because there is a biological plant in Wuhan. And I mean, right. it's
so
not insane.
So that was something that I thought, okay, this makes a little bit of sense. But I'm not a right-wing fella. And I'm not going to be right-wing on this. I'm not left-wing anymore either. Left is way out. Way to the left of me.
You're about to share an Elon Musk diagram. Be careful, Dad.
Yes, exactly. Is this an Elon Musk praise segment?
No, this is this. I think that Joe
that
Biden...
That Tesla commercial, the anti-Tesla commercial,
yes.
Terrifying.
I would never buy a Tesla.
Did you see the anti-Tesla commercial?
They were putting phantom strollers
that
through the street astonishing. To have
it. It was just
out.
Like a kid.
Killing
and it would
Elon
just be
Musk.
Like a Tesla driving through the kid.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, I did see
and
that.
And then a quarter
I
later, they show Elon sitting in the...
He's in the box
with Rupert Murdoch, too.
Enjoying some hot dogs.
What are we doing? All right, so let me get to this. I think Joe Biden... needs to go on television at 9 o'clock at night and explain this stuff.
Mm.
Honestly, you're the president of the United States. No one is criticizing taking down the balloon. You took down the balloon. You didn't want it to land on people. Everybody gets it.
Right. Yeah.
You've shot three things down in 3 days and you've said, we need to do this. You need, am I crazy? You need to go on television. You're not answering questions. You can answer a couple of questions. You need to talk about this.
The thing that
this is crazy.
If the Super Bowl was on a different network, would they have inserted a 30-second PSA on that?
Well, normally he would just remember
he
was supposed to go on.
But it wasn't really Fox.
It was Fox Soul.
It wasn't real Fox.
He didn't want to go on with Fox. Right. And he would have been asked about that. I mean, my thing is, the thing that I would like clarity on is, are these things regularly up there and we leave them and we've changed our policy that now we're shooting them down? Or is this a new bevy of them that have never been up there before? Because it seems to me it's probably the former. It's probably that there are things up there regularly and we just leave
them.
And
now we're getting trigger
happy?
And
now we're... Right.
So
that would be my guess.
Again, I would say this, although I think if Trump were president, he would have talked about this because he would have been very proud of it. That's my guess. I think if Obama were president, he'd have gone on the air and say, this is what we got, and this is why we're doing this. And I think Biden should do that. Because I'd like, you know, I think people would like, what
well,
is
it's,
this?
It's getting to the point where, again, it's 4 and 8 days. I mean, it's getting to the point where you kind of need, again, is it a policy change? Is it that there's suddenly much more frequency of these things?
Who's sending them up?
Right.
We should know who's sending them up.
Right.
Right?
It's not England.
Wouldn't think it's England.
Dirigibles.
You know.
Yes.
I don't know.
No, but some explanation would be nice.
If you ask me who's sending it up, I've narrowed it down to two. It's Russia and China.
I was going to say, good guesses.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And every single person in the United States would narrow it down to two.
Mm-hmm.
Russia or China.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody's going to bring in Venezuela on this one.
Probably not.
I don't think so.
No.
No. Luxembourg does love balloons.
The UAE? I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so.
The increased frequency suggests that something has changed. So it would be nice to know what it is. Is it our stance toward it or the fact that there are more of these things? And if there are more of these things, that's way more concerning.
And it's not, I mean, these are F-22 jets shooting things down. I mean, that's not sort of a small act. That's a...
No, and by the way, are they shooting them down? Are they... Is it a walk-off? Is it one for one? Or are they shooting two or three missiles at it? Or is it just each one? Are they that? Are we that good?
I think it's
that
just
we can
one.
Take
well,
them
with
out
the balloon,
one.
It was one.
Well, the balloon wasn't going fast.
The balloon was also as big as three buses.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know what this other stuff is. Right. Is it going fast? I don't know anything about it. But again, I think the president of the United States, and I know they don't listen to this, but I would feel comforted knowing what we're doing. And I don't usually
In the need of that information.
Right. So let's take a break. Let's bring in Wilbon. He's just going to hate everything. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's the butterfly effect for real.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Bob McWilliams of Kansas Public Radio in Lawrence, Kansas, home of the University of Kansas. He writes, love the interview with Michael Granberry, and now I know why we both know so many of the same musicians. He mentioned Uncle Calvin's in Dallas. When I was starting a music series that ran for 25 years, Uncle Calvin's was one of my models. Plus, I've been doing folk Americana radio at Kansas Public Radio for 30 years and jazz for 40 years. Can I be the show's official public radio DJ with a Harvard Law degree? There may be no other candidates. Yes. Yes to both. I agree with that. You can be, and there aren't any. This is a song by the Foreign Landers, a duo of mandolin player and singer David Benedict from South Carolina and banjo player and lead singer Tabitha Agnew, now Tabitha Agnew Benedict, from Northern Ireland. Isn't that something? This is beautiful music.
Isn't it?
And this is called Traveler, and it plays in Michael Wilbon. And we're going to talk about the Super Bowl, and we're going to talk about how Wilbon has to revise his dynasty of one. But before that, something much more important in Wilbon's life happened yesterday, and I was privy to it because we were on the phone for the last 5 minutes of the game. Northwestern took down number one Purdue. Tell me your thoughts about that, because you were terrified it wouldn't happen.
Tony, the biggest win in the history of Northwestern basketball came when I was a student. And I guess we've been playing basketball for close to 100 years, more than that. And while we've never been any good, one tournament appearance in 2017 under Chris Collins, that's the only time, one time. In 1979, when I was a student, we beat the eventual champion, Michigan State.
Oh, with Magic Johnson.
That's when I met Magic Johnson.
Right.
We go back that far now. We're heading toward, 45 years. That we beat Michigan State. And Magic remembers, when I first met Magic, when he was a Laker, early in his career, he said, it sticks in my craw that I lost to you guys. But he also said that he doesn't think Michigan State would have won the championship that year had they not lost to us along the way and then got going. I don't know if they lost another game that year. So that's it, Tom. It's one game. They were not ranked number one. Michigan State, Magic Johnson, Judd Heathcote, Greg Kelser, Jay Vincent, I said Greg Kelser. So that's the one win we got.
Right.
We've never beaten number one ranked team in the history of the school. So to play Purdue, a team that, as you know, I liked for the last couple of weeks. We talked about it on the show. To beat them was just staggering. There are people who have us, people who are bracket heads. They have Northwestern in the tournament as long as we win like another game or two.
I think you have to be in. You took down the number one team
yesterday.
This gives you the benefit of the doubt in any matchup with anybody. Honestly, you took down a number one team.
Yeah. Well, Tony, here's the other thing. Indiana, which is like the hottest team in the country, Indiana, I think, has won like 9 straight games. last game Indiana lost was to Northwestern in Bloomington.
You're in. No, you're going to be in.
Yesterday, Jim Nance and Grant Hill have told me that the loudest, craziest thing they've ever covered in college was a game between Northwestern and Purdue in Evanston about 5 years ago. And you say to them, come on, stop it. Grant, you played at Durham. Grant said to me last week, can you guys do that again? That's the most raucous thing I've ever been in.
Really?
Yeah. This is last week talking with Grant about this. So here they are. The students, it's not Krzyzewskiville, okay? It's not going to be that. But we can't even get all the students in who want to go in now. The team has been like 17-7 going into yesterday. Beat Indiana, beat Illinois, won at Michigan State. Games we don't have that resume. We don't have that history. And they packed it, and we were down 8, as you know. Because I know at one point you said, they're pulling away.
I did, and then I went back to the golf. I was going back and forth with the golf and Northwestern. And then there were like 2 or 3 possessions. I don't know that they were straight possessions, but the big kid got the ball taken from him.
That's right.
He held the ball badly, and they took it from him.
He swarmed him, yeah.
Northwestern got back in on defense because God knows they only have 2 guys who will shoot because 3 guys are afraid to shoot out there, right?
Well, if not afraid, certainly not accomplished at it. But yeah, Tony, I think the big kid had, Edie had 6 turnovers, I think.
Yeah.
The defense was great against a 7'4" kid, and we don't have anybody who's like half his size. And I called Chris Collins last night. I didn't want to text. I called him. And Cheryl says, what are you doing? It's like midnight. I'm like, I don't care.
It's the greatest day of his coaching life.
He can't be asleep.
It's not.
And I don't care. I'm going to wake him. And I call him, and the phone rings one time, and he picks up, and he goes, I've been waiting to hear from you. This is the greatest day of our lives.
No, I get that.
This is one of the great, and he was in tears because, you know, it's a tough thing. We haven't made the tournament since making it in 2017, and we should make it. It's a big deal.
I think you'll make it this year just because of this. I really do.
Yeah.
And then you go into a Super Bowl, which was really a good game. That was really a good Super Bowl.
Great game.
Yeah.
Great game. I was distracted. I teasingly tweeted or said to somebody or posted or something. I didn't care about the game. I didn't care about the Super Bowl. And it really took the sales out of it for me. I mean, this is something Northwestern sports that nobody cares about except us.
Right.
And I'm constantly texting with my own brother who was here in Arizona with me. And Larry Irving and Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, that's your mafia.
Nichols,
sure.
Our mafia, Don Day, sure. Who's here in Arizona. And we're nuts. We're nuts. And I just said, I don't have enough energy left for the Super Bowl. And of course, I got there because it was a great game.
So my sense of the Super Bowl was that Philadelphia should have been up 21-7 or 24-7 at the half. The Jalen Hurts thing, that was a very, very weird fumble. Then there was another fumble that was justifiably canceled.
Overruled.
Yeah. But Kansas City was lucky to be that close. But when Kansas City got the opening kickoff in the second half and went down the field, and Mahomes was like laying down 40 minutes, because that halftime show is a long time. But it looked like he was done. And he had the greatest second half for an injured guy of all time. I mean, guys like me have said for a while, he's the best football player on the planet. And now everybody saw it, right, Mike? I mean, he's the best.
Yes. And Tony, one thing I said, so when he is in excruciating pain and howling and on the bench, and Don looks at me and says, they're done, this game's over. I go, no, it's not. Let's just hold on. And Tony, about 90 seconds later, maybe it wasn't 90 seconds, maybe it was 3 minutes, Mahomes is standing on the sideline cheering. And I go, okay, that's it. He wasn't even being attended to as he stood.
Well,
if he was that hurt, they wouldn't have let him stand.
I think it was Jimmy Johnson at halftime. I think it was Jimmy Johnson. It might have been Michael Strahan, but I thought it was Jimmy Johnson. Said he will take some pain remedy at halftime. He said that, which means that he knows as a coach that Andy Reid's going to take the needle in his own hand and stick it in Mahomes' leg. Because this is, I'm sorry, this is the Super Bowl.
I mean, so it'll be interesting to find that out because, so this week here in Arizona, I was with all the guys from our network who cover football, who played, not to mention my own friends and buddies who played. And I have said to them, I talked to Roy Green about this a lot, and Charles, and they have explained to me, there are times you can take a shot, and then there are times when it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You have to take that shot before. You can't, there's nothing you can do at a certain point, at least, look, I know those guys played 40 years ago, but they understand this whole culture. They understand the practicality of what you're trying to do, which is just be able to function. From what I've always understood, and more recently, last week, you can't take something at halftime. It's
too late in. Did you talk to your boy, your Jason, the doctor?
You know, Tone, I didn't, and no. I should have.
Yeah, because that, I mean, he would know.
I should have. I will ask him before PTI today.
So it wouldn't kick in. It wouldn't kick in. Then.
No. He would have had to have done. He could have taken okay. something before. But it looked like, look, Mahomes was standing and bouncing.
Yep.
You know, when they showed him on the sideline, I'm like, he's fine. I don't mean fine, but you know what I mean. He's not. Whatever happened, he's over it for the moment.
This is
his greatness is undeniable.
I think this is a big turn. Not for Mahomes. It's a big turn for Andy Reid. A big turn in terms of legacy. Yes. Yes, because if he loses this one and two rum-dums in Philadelphia win it, you know, that he didn't, you know, I mean, come on, nobody knew who Doug Peterson or Nick Sirianni were. And if they both win Super Bowls and one of them beats him and he's 1-3, I think it hurts.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yeah, it hurts any time you don't win and you have the chance. And I thought, you know, to get specific just for a moment about the game, I just thought the story of the game was the Philadelphia defense's inability to be great.
Surprised me.
They didn't do jack. They couldn't pressure him. So Friday night, I had people at my house, and one of those people wears a gold jacket for defense, and one of those people has what we call a Super Bowl MVP, and his name is Richard Dent.
Yeah, he's your boy.
And I just said to Dent, okay, what's going to happen? And he said, look, Mahomes is great. He said what I think a lot of people thought on our air, and he said that, you know, Philadelphia's defense can get after you with four people.
Right.
They have to get after
people
him.
People said that.
This is what they can do. And Dent knows because he played on a team like that.
The best defense ever.
That's right. By the way, the Philadelphia Eagles of yesterday, they trail only one team ever in sacks in a season.
The 85 Bears.
That's right.
I said this a bunch, and you know I said this. And I thought Philadelphia was a better team. But that if you give me 2 points in Mahomes, I'm going to take that every single time.
Yeah.
And in the first half, I thought, ooh, that's a dumb bet. Because I thought Philadelphia in the first half was a clearly superior team.
They dominated the ball, but that doesn't win a game.
No. And there's adjustments at halftime.
The defense didn't do the thing that had – to me, it's pretty simple. That matchup, that defense, because of their ability to pressure the quarterback – you've got to get to Mahomes. You don't have to sack him. They didn't hurry him. They didn't pressure him. They didn't bother him.
Not much.
Well, then how the hell are you going to beat Kansas City?
Now, there was one play where he had to escape things, and he threw a low pass to Kelsey.
Yeah, because he couldn't. Because he still, we don't know that he could push off
yeah.
that foot
but, I mean,
in the way that he's accustomed
that's
to.
A, and look, I'm the guy who said that Jalen Hurts was the MVP of the season, and I believe that Jalen Hurts was MVP of the season. And Jalen Hurts was great yesterday.
He was great yesterday.
The other guy was
willing to win.
The other guy's better. The other guy's the best.
The other guy's better. The other guy's better, but the team didn't do – his teammates didn't do their job. They didn't.
They should have – I thought they should have won the game. But, you know, Mahomes, it was good.
Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to you later. I'm not even going to ask you. You hated all the commercials. I don't want to go through it.
Go Cats.
All right, goodbye. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. Barry's for Luga will join us. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, these are the foreign landers. Banjo, mandolin. Beautiful.
Really is lovely.
Yeah.
By the way, Bob McWilliams, who sent this in, wanted to send you this follow-up email.
Oh, my God. Episode 171 with Chuck and Roxy. My God.
They're everywhere.
Oh, my God. They are everywhere, Chuck and Roxy. Good for them. The Foreign Landers. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's called Garden. It's from their album Traveler. Michael, if people like The Foreign Landers, want to send in their original music, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. I'm searching for this one.
And by the way, yes. We do have emails that say to us, you played my songs, and a lot of people went to hear the rest of my songs. So good. That's good. Barry Svaluga joins us now to talk about the Super Bowl, because Wilbon is obviously was enraptured with Northwestern beating Purdue. Overall, that's as good a Super Bowl as we've ever had, don't you think?
Yeah, I think when you consider not only the way the game played out, but the characters involved and how they played. And that's, you know, Mahomes, of course, overcoming the ankle, not probably putting up the stats that Patrick Mahomes is used to, but really being the central leading man and really the league's leading man at this point.
Oh, particularly in the also, second half when he's in physical jeopardy. Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But I think, you know, if you're an Eagles fan, if you had any question about your quarterback going forward, and I don't know why you would, but Jalen Hurts is now a star.
Yes.
Who performed, other than one play, as well as you possibly could expect a quarterback to perform in a way that is different and dangerous. And, you know, you're talking about a quarterback that accounted for all four touchdowns, three of them on the ground, one of them on a complete bomb in which he had faith in a very, very talented receiver.
Who somehow got between two guys and caught the ball. That was bad defense, right? That was bad defense.
But so you're the combination of characters, the Kelseys, Andy Reid solidifying his status, the way the game played out in, you know, a 10-point lead for the Eagles, an immediate comeback for the Chiefs, and then even get, you know, when Hurts scores to make it 35-33, getting the 2-point conversion there to force a tie, everything, kind of the whole package. There's, you know, if there's a GOAT, is it Hurts because he dropped the ball in a way that really wasn't a forced fumble and that was, you know, bounced beautifully in Kansas City's favor? You can't call
first
him a
half.
GOAT.
You can't make it. You can't get
so
angry.
It just, I think when you take the combination of star power, legacy defining stuff, overcoming injury, the other side playing, having their stars shine as well. It's hard to come up in obviously there's recency bias, but this one's going to hold up over time, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree with some of the things that are written that it, you know, makes Kansas City one of the great teams of all time. It does not do that. They've been in three Super Bowls. They've now won two. This one could have gone the other way very easily. It does not do that. Great teams of all time, you start with the number four. You got to win three or four of these things. You can't just win two. You can't. And that other notion that Mahomes, great of all time, because he's won two by 27. If he ends up with two, it's not true. I mean, the magic number, it's like the magic number in golf majors, I guess, is four. And the magic number in, well, you can speak to that, Barry. But the magic number in Super Bowls is three. It's three. It's not two. It's three. What do you think?
Well, I don't think you're wrong, but I also think pointing out that the number of absolutely, you know, lock Hall of Fame quarterbacks who have only one is pretty significant. Aaron Rodgers has one.
Yep.
Drew Brees has one.
That's right.
Peyton Manning, you know, has two. He doesn't have three. But
that's right.
He was carried to the second one with a different franchise. So that's a strange set of.
His brother has more impressive Super Bowl wins.
He does. He doesn't have a more impressive career, no. But he made the most of the two that that he got to. So I think there's a middle ground there, Tony, where you can say it really seems that Patrick Mahomes is on his way to solidifying his status. And last night was a very, very significant step forward in that, because he had been befuddled by in his last Super
Tampa
Bowl,
Tampa Bay crushed him
by Tampa Bay, and he did not look like. I mean, that was an instance where you said, okay, he did not rise to the moment. He did not lift his team, and that kind of fades, because now he has done it twice, and at 27, he's also done it with a roster that's not insignificantly turned over, in that you know, Tyreek Hill isn't there. He's using, I think, a lesser set of weapons. Kelce is obviously unmatched, and that's a huge because even though he did not score the last two Chiefs touchdowns, the last two Chiefs touchdowns
we had triple coverage.
Came about because he was doubled and the other two guys were wide open. So I don't think those proclamations should be made in February 2023, but the building blocks are really, really there. This is a guy at the height of his powers. There are no guarantees. It doesn't mean, you know, two doesn't automatically mean three, but it's hard to say he's not set up to get himself back there and do this again.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too nerdy about this, but the AFC is much better than the NFC.
For sure.
And he's got to go through Josh Allen and Joe Burrow for the next 10 years, and it's not going to be easy. I mean, there are no guarantees on that level. The NFC, it would be much easier to get to. But I think you're right about Hurts. I wonder about this, and I don't know if what I'm saying now is true. I know that he was replaced by Tua in a game that Alabama won. I don't think in his previous national championship game that he won. He may look at national championships and Super Bowls and say, I don't have any luck in these things, as great as he was. Did he win one on his own at Alabama? I'm not certain he did.
No, and, you know, I was thinking a lot about the game in which he was benched for Tua.
Oh, yeah.
I happened to cover that one. And it was amazing because they were playing Georgia, and I looked it up last night. He went 3 of 8 for 27 yards in the first half. And it looked like not just that they were struggling on offense. It looked like he could not complete a throw of any significance. Now, Georgia had a billion first rounders on defense. There's a lot going on there. And Nick Saban made the bold but correct choice to put Tua in.
100% bold. 100%.
Whoa. Yeah, I mean, I just remember being like, the number of coaches who would bench a player who had won a national championship and lost two games his entire career as a starter, the number of coaches who would bench that player at halftime is probably one, and it happened to be the coach at Alabama.
If that had happened this year, that kid is on the transfer portal at 2 minutes into the third quarter. No, but did he win one, Barry? Did he win one at Alabama?
He won one, but not but not because of Jalen Hurts. Like it's one of those loaded Alabama teams. And not that he, you know, didn't contribute, but it didn't. The quarterback was not the leading man there.
Okay.
In that game, in the game that he was benched, Tua completed the winning score.
The big left-handed thing into the end zone. It's great. Yeah.
Freshman Devontae Smith, who now is this amazing weapon for Jalen Hurts.
On Philly,
Just an amazing kind of twisting, tangled set of circumstances there. But I was so impressed, again, put the one play aside, so impressed with Hurts's kind of poise and control and just aptitude and obviously ability. They've got something there, and their roster, I think you can still say, even though they lost the game, their roster 1 to 53 is probably the best in in football. Just a lot of depth and a lot of star power and a lot of talent.
I'd probably argue that a little because I'm a big fan of San Francisco and think that San Francisco got hosed in a sense, and that the kid, you know, he couldn't play. I mean, but I thought Philadelphia was the better team top to bottom yesterday, and you can't ask more of Hurts. Hurts accounted for 4 touchdowns and the 2-point conversion. I mean, come on. The guy had a great year. All doubts about him are dispelled. Even Doug Peterson, who didn't want to play him, probably has to look back and say, you know, maybe I was wrong about this. But that was a really good game, right? I mean, that was an enjoyable game to watch.
1,000%. And you know, I think we're kind of past the era of, you know, in the 80s and 90s, there were so many of these games that were just blowouts. And you know, there have been some duds. The Patriots-Rams Super Bowl wasn't particularly exciting. Last year's wasn't like a gangbusters thing. But you've had, you know, in the last decade, the Patriots come back against
Atlanta,
the Falcons, and just, I'd say, more good games than bad ones. But this one is going to be tough to top for all the reasons I listed before. I mean, maybe we're in a world 5 years from now where we're talking about how Jalen Hurts emerged from that, you know, great performance but disheartening loss in his first Super Bowl, and use that to push forward to, you know, pick a number one or two more. There's also, I mean, I really do think your point about the AFC is not just nerdy or in the weeds. Like, crowning Patrick Mahomes as, you know, an all-time legend is premature, because it's premature, but also premature because the path is going to be difficult. And that is awesome for the NFL. We've talked about this during these playoffs, when, at least on the AFC side, if you're one of those teams, it's daunting because you've got to go through some combination of Burrow, Allen, Mahomes, probably Lawrence,
Herbert.
Herbert, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're the NFL, if you're an NFL fan, it was riveting this playoff run, and it's set up to be riveting in the future.
Agree. I was, you know, I had the golf on first, and then I had Northwestern basketball. And by the way, Scheffler made a putt on 16 to save par. That wins the tournament and breaks the other kid's heart. The kid then misses the putt, the Canadian kid, Taylor, right?
Yep.
That was a good tournament.
Yes.
That's
yes,
all.
Yes, for sure. And it also, you know, I have my, I shouldn't say I have my doubts about Scottie Scheffler, because, but I my whole view of him has been, you know, it's similar conversation about Mahomes. Like, one major doesn't automatically beget more majors. And I thought that winning the Masters last year in that amazing run he had, where he was winning
every week
PGA Tour events of his career, should be seen in that prism, that it's a excellent golfer playing the best golf at the right time. And that putt on 16,
ooh,
if it doesn't reshape my view of him, it tweaks it a little. Like, okay, he's here. He won this tournament last year. This tournament now has a stacked field. If you look at that leaderboard, you know, there are people, so many people that are familiar, just the casual golf fans. And he won it when he could have lost it. And I think that's an important part of any real star golfer's resume, to if you don't have your best stuff, be able to come through with that shot at that
moment
to win the tournament instead of giving it away.
Totally agree. Some tournaments are won and some tournaments are lost. He won the tournament.
He won it on
that putt. Very quick, get you out on this. Which team is going to be sold first, the baseball team or the football team in Washington?
Football team, 1,000%.
Sure. Okay.
I mean, the baseball team thing, the national sale is on almost full pause.
Good.
Until we revisit the stupid Mavs initiative in issue in court. And I think that there is some urgency on the football side to make it a clean sale so that a new owner can head into free agency draft, you know, coach evaluation, like just start the
So you think
year.
It's quick? It's going to be quick.
That is my guess, Tony. And I would just say that I've phrased this way before. If I'm betting whether the Washington Commanders are sold or not, I'm betting that they're going to be sold. My skepticism and cynicism around that team and that owner tells me don't believe any of it until the ink is dry.
Right.
So you kind of live in like parallel worlds there. But I do think, you know, Daniel Snyder has listed his permanent residence in London. Like, he's selling a $49 million house here. There's evidence beyond just, hey, we're exploring, you know, angles for a sale. It feels pretty real to me.
London, I think he's probably going to go and try to apply for that vacant prince job that Harry left.
Right. Spare.
Could be. Go try and do that. Thank you, Barry.
Appreciate it, Tony.
Barry's Verlugo. Love to have him on. We'll take a break. We'll come back with email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Chip Robinson in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. I've waited patiently, but I believe I have the winner in the What My Dog Ate game. The dog ate four rows, about 3 to 4 feet long each, of siding off the house, and ate the Tyvek wrap under the siding.
Almost ate a house. Left the dog alone the other day. Electric collar on. Didn't seem to get in his way. Ain't the sight him, and I can't imagine why. I can't believe that a siren didn't die. This is meal. Can't be outdone by anyone.
This has almost cut my hair. I've enjoyed by David Crosby. All the other dog stories, but Simon says, beat that. And Joe writes, please welcome back Byron Cotter, Mr. Cotter, who's written jingles for us since 2013. That's 10 years if you're scoring at home. Still one of the best. Thanks to Chip Robinson in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, and his pooch Simon for the great dog email from last Monday's Comet Time episode. Joe Arrows. Just
phenomenal.
How about Bethesda Bagel?
Got the bagel sandwiches today. Always very excited happy. For that.
Wait, happy. What?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So just a credit card, you know, we can probably take care of you there.
This day is just taking a turn for the better.
Bethesda Bagels, we love them. You would as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in and you'll be thrilled.
Before we get to the mailbag, let me say in honor of the Super Bowl winner going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there. I'm going to get me one. That's Wilbur Harrison. It was covered by Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Who has the famous line in the middle of the song where he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Thanks to our guests today, Michael Wilbon and Barry's Verlugo. Thanks to our sponsors, ButcherBox, Simply Safe, and Grammarly. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. Get the show through Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a review. From Aaron in Milwaukee, excerpt from one of the most celebrated magazine stories ever, Tony Kornheiser Has a Cold. Tony Kornheiser, this is going to be a parody of the great Gay Talese story on Frank Sinatra, which starts, Frank Sinatra has a cold. Tony Kornheiser, holding a pint of coffee ice cream in one hand and a disputed Capital One credit card bill in the other, stood in the dark corner of the Safeway between Nigel and Michael, two attractive but fading young men. He sat there waiting for him to say something. But for once, he said nothing. Tony Kornheiser had a cold. Kornheiser with a cold is Chuck Todd without a French horn. Bootsy without the hammer, only worse. For a common cold, robs Kornheiser of that uninsurable jewel, his voice. A Kornheiser with a cold can in a small way, send vibrations through the entertainment industry and beyond, or at least from D.C. to Rehoboth, as surely as the President of the United States, suddenly sick, can shake the national economy. Love.
Brilliant.
So good.
From Todd Sanzone in Bristow, Virginia. Of course, the day after the Super Bowl, we'll be spent talking about the game, the commercials, the halftime show, and the prop bets. The more ridiculous, the better. Can I take a minute of your time to say how great Booger McFarland is? I love him more each time he's on the pod or PTI. Intelligent, insightful game analysis always, but what's more, his approach to game prep, smartly ordering priorities, and just his philosophy on life in general should make him an ideal candidate for a coaching job somewhere. If not a head coach, D coordinator, D line coach, something. In the timeless words of a bald orange man I listen to in my car every day. Am I wrong on this? Do we know if he has aspirations to coach in the league? Maybe not, but if he does, he should be hired today. I don't think he does. No. I mean, I don't know.
It's a good gig.
I don't know.
By the way, on the prop bet front, the Gatorade was purple, which was plus 1,000.
That's right.
Was it purple?
Purple.
I believe
was there a
Reginald
the,
had
the,
that.
Well done, Reginald.
The national anthem took hours.
Chris Stapleton went on for a while.
Took hours.
Yeah,
and
it was
by the way,
slow version.
Jeff Ma's big bet. The over. Crushed it.
Yes.
Yep.
He crushed it.
I got a text from Carville last night saying he crushed the over as well.
Yeah. So they crushed the over.
Blue play special.
Chuck Todd won.
Yes.
So Chuck Todd was not a 500. He finishes 2 over 500 on the
year. A remarkable year for the pickers.
Yeah.
One of the best ever.
Yeah.
All finished over. From Rajesh Natarajan, I hope I pronounced that correctly, longtime listener, first email. Listening to your podcast on my walk down the dangerous burbs of Herndon was ecstatic. Finally, Mr. Tony made a reference to my country of origin. Mr. Pune, it's the Pune, was actually named after what was originally called Pune in India. It has since been renamed Pune, which was its original name. Pune, P-O-O-N-A, no H, was the anglicized version. It's a beautiful city not too far from Bombay, now called Mumbai, for the same reasons above. Thank you for introducing the joys of American sport to my family and I, first through the post and then on TV. You're a priceless gem, and most of my days do have a dose of Mr. Tony to be complete. By the way, the Palm is a heck of a lot more expensive than the $13 you spent at Burger King. Hopefully Mr. Carville and his calendar pay for dinner on Tuesday. No, I wouldn't worry about that. So Pune, I said I was reading a book about India.
Yes.
And Pune was in it. It became Roop Sharma in Lebanon, Ohio. The only Indian city that I think I might be close to Pune is Pune, which is pronounced Pune. Can I be the official Indian pronunciation specialist of the show? Well, you're going to have to deal with Rajesh.
Yeah, fight it out.
We read his first. From Gary Monday in Edgewater, Maryland. Primanti Brothers customer since approximately 1979. Primanti, not Moan or Mun. Primanti does not use buns. Never has, never will. Since 1933, a Primanti Brothers sandwich has been served on fresh, local Italian bread, sliced thick while you watch. And that's the kind of bread that goes into a Speedy.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's the kind of bread, sure. Oh, this is about beef on weck. It appears to be, my God, 5 pages long.
Wow.
Got to have some pictures.
Full history.
Rob Lowe, not that Rob Lowe, in North Royalton, Ohio. On Wednesday, you had an email describing Primanti's as a hamburger place. Although Primanti's does have a chopped steak, i.e. hamburger sandwich, it is only one of the many sandwiches that are crafted at Primanti's. In addition to hamburger, you can get fried fish, fried eggs, fried chicken, a plethora of deli meats, and my personal favorite, kielbasa. All sandwiches come with a slice of tomato, who knows why, a vinegar slaw, and fries on the sandwich. The combination can only be described as magical. I also want to take a moment to let your fine listeners know that Pittsburgh is a place where you can die from high cholesterol better than any place on earth. Yes, we have Primanti's and Pittsburgh-style steaks, which is the only way to have a steak. But Pittsburgh is where the Big Mac and Egg McMuffin were invented. There is the Devonshire sandwich, which is a relatively healthy turkey sandwich that has been smothered in bacon and a molten cheese sauce to make it delicious and potentially deadly. There's also a lunch meat called chipped ham, which may contain actual ham, but no one is actually sure. Want a salad? Get a Pittsburgh style. What's that? Well, that is a salad topped with cheddar cheese and fries.
Oh my God.
Add fries to a salad? Why wouldn't you add fries to a salad? Come on, man. What are we doing here? Dessert? Well, the Klondike bar was invented in Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
Greeny Cream Ale, we have Iron City Beer, checkmate. And of course, it should be Jenny Cream Ale, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jenny. And of course, the greatest of all gas stations and gas station cuisine, Sheetz, was founded less than 2 hours away in Altoona, Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, I've not been on with Chuck and Roxy, but as this is fourth or fifth email you've read from me, I'm guessing I'm on the short list for potential future guests. Let's be honest. The guest pool for that show is kind of small. Nigel, feel free to share my email with them. It's just so
I had a,
great.
I had a sausage McMuffin with egg this weekend. Still great. As good as ever.
It's great.
Still as good as ever.
Paul
delicious.
And Sterling. Those sandwiches do sound good.
They do sound yes. good.
They sound like a full meal. They sound good. Primanti's. From Paul in Sterling. This weekend is a really nice article was published by the BBC News on the 40th anniversary of the song Total Eclipse of the Heart, written by your friend Jim Steinman. The article by Fraser Morris is titled Total Eclipse of the Heart, the most epic song ever written. I would think, we've talked about this before, when you are talking about the wall of sound.
Right, the grandeur
Total
of it, yeah.
Eclipse of the Heart.
Yep. Yes.
And it's a great song, right? You can
fabulous.
Make fun of it if you want.
But it's a great song.
It's a
song.
Great song. Here are a few of my favorite quotes from the article. The song was Total Eclipse of the Heart, released 40 years ago in February 1983. This gothic aria became an unprecedented international success that pushed the boundaries of melodrama and pop music. It topped the UK charts, unseating Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, was an even bigger hit in the US, and soared to number one in several countries. The song is considered one of history's most iconic power ballads, often ranked highly in retrospective listings alongside such evergreens as Hearts Alone, Journeys Faithfully, and Foreigners, I Want to Know What Love Is. It's easy to understand. The full-length album cut is 7 minutes of unfettered bombast. It is ultimately the pairing of Steinman's epic writing with Tyler's ferocious delivery that continues to enthrall listeners. Rory Dodd, background singer on the song, tells BBC Culture it was a totally different concept of a song. It's a story, it's theater, and it worked. He was in theater.
Yeah.
That's where he met Meat.
Right.
I mean, that they were all wanted to do Joe Papp Summer Theater in Central Park. That's what it was about. I don't know who this is from. It doesn't say. Anyway, when my wife and I took our four-legged friend, naming him became quite the conundrum. My wife was determined to find the perfect name and scoured the vast expanse of the internet for ideas. But with each suggestion, I shot it down faster than a musketeer on horseback. Even Pickles didn't make the cut. I mean, seriously? So when she finally threw up her hands and asked me what name I had in mind, I didn't hesitate. Having recently devoured the Three Musketeers, I proudly proclaimed D'Artagnan. But alas, we eventually settled on the more worldly name of Paris. However, after recent exposure to some top-notch podcast episodes, I'm now on a quest to change our pup's name to The Marquis. The Marquis. Because who wouldn't want to walk around with a dog that's royalty in both name and spirit? Huh? Okay, from Fred Chavez, or Chavez, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Rene Brown's email on Friday reminded me of a clerk in our office in the 70s we called Regular Richard. He insisted different servings on his plate couldn't touch and had to be eaten in a certain order. To him, there was a regular kind of everything. For cars, Chevrolets were regular. Every other brand of car was irregular. Beef was regular. Other kinds of meat, irregular. Richard was a gambler. Carried a wallet in his back pocket so full of cash his back had to hurt. I asked him to stop making gambling calls during work hours. I'd often hear him on the phone betting a dime on this team or a nickel on that team. Seemed pretty tame to me until I learned the dime was $100 and a nickel was $50 in gambler speak. You gotta know that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you say eight large, it's even bigger than that. Thanks again for so many years of entertainment. For me, back to your WAPO writing in the 80s. You may recall George Solom taught my son Jack at University of Maryland. Jack visited you once on the PTI set. I cherish the picture. He's writing regularly for the Ocean City Times and hoping to take his Orioles expertise to the Baltimore Sun, if only. Elliot Oshansky. Oh, is it going to be a Dartmouth reference?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. Do you think there's a Dartmouth reference?
I'm going to guess yes.
As a geriatric millennial who best knows Burt Bacharach, can I just say this about Burt Bacharach? I was so thrilled to see two stories in the Washington Post mounting an elegant defense against whatever internet nonsense is out there. One of which was written by, hello, Carol King. By Carol King.
The Carol King?
Wow. That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Yeah.
That Carol King.
Wow.
It starts off, if I'm not mistaken, it starts off where she's sitting in a car with her then husband, Jerry Goffin. And Goffin and King have written 20 of the greatest songs of all time.
Yeah.
And she says, they start playing Anyone Who Had a Heart. And they stop the car and they go, what was that? Right?
Yeah.
If Carol King says that about a Burt Bacharach, come on.
Yeah.
As a geriatric millennial who best knows Burt Bacharach from his appearances in the first two Austin Powers movies, your discussion of his career on Friday's show was very interesting and enlightening. It also reminded me of another, you might be a little line. If your first thought upon hearing about a celebrity death is to wonder if the obituary will appear on page one of the Washington Post, you might be a little. Best regards from Suffolk County, where I sent my first email to be read on the show on January 25th, 2015, asking for Reginald's pick on the Puppy Bowl. Glad he finally got around to it.
And I believe Reginald got that pick as well.
Mark Graff, Hill Air Force Base in Utah. The show may stink, but it put some money in my pocket recently by using SeatGeek. I use the code, people, and have TK to thank for taking $20 off my first purchase to take the kids, a 9-year-old masculine child and a 6-year-old non-masculine child, to see the Harlem Globetrotters for the very first time. Recently, the kids have shown an infectious love shooting hoops, so it's a happy coincidence the Globetrotters are coming to nearby Salt Lake City this month. Recently, as the TK show was playing on my speakerphone, my son asked about people who were yelling on my phone. I said, that's Uncle Tony and Nigel. The look on his face was one of disgust and bewilderment. Then, as children do, he abruptly switched topics and said, Dad, I just realized I forgot to wear underwear to school today. Anyhow,
been there.
Thanks for all the laughs and becoming part of the conversational fabric of my little life. Oh, and tell Jonathan Lauren in North Carolina to eat it. Michael Binkley, dear Dr. Hofwoff, there are two things that's kept me from bathing in money on Carville's picks. One, understanding anything he says.
Yeah, definitely an
there
issue.
There is a barrier.
There's
two,
a hurdle.
Finding a sports book that will let me bet on a line I claim to have seen somewhere at some point.
I saw it at 10.5.
That's the list. From Malcolm Wilson, Binghamton opportunity. They bring two ranked wrestlers to the pavilion at Comcast to square off against Maryland Friday. It's Friday coming up.
Yeah.
Friday 17th, University of Maryland at College Park. Oh, I didn't know Binghamton had that. That's
we'll get
great.
The motorcade ready.
Jim Bunnell, or Bunnell, I think Bunnell probably, in Salt Lake City. Around the World in 80 Days, starring David Niven, Shirley MacLaine, Frank Sinatra, Peter Lorre, and Marlena Dietrich. And the only cast member you mention is Cantinflas. You're such a name dropper. Yeah, well, he was important to the movie.
That's
right. What I said about, yeah, that the shooting down the first balloon.
Yeah, the balloon.
Kenny Smith, not that Kenny Smith, from Front Royal, Virginia, and currently in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia.
Sure.
Which is where Kalila is.
Oh, that's right.
Kalila is.
Yes.
Been a loyal little for decades during my military and professional career. I've listened to you and the gang on at least three continents and countless countries. Well, you have emails from some interesting places. I don't know if you've ever had one from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. No, but we get phone calls all the time from Kalila.
We have people.
During my stay here, I can't say I've had any DA moments and that my lechiserie call-outs are met with strange, inquisitive looks. That said, the people here are some of the kindest and warmest I've ever met. It's been a joy getting to know them and immerse in their culture. Just want to say hello from the other side of the world and thank you for giving me some laughs and tastes of home during my travels.
That's
always nice.
Very nice.
Tim Cree. We always like Tim Cree.
Yes.
From Fort Collins, Colorado. He's been emailing for 100 years. The only rule I have for food not touching... The foods can touch if they are solids. No liquids can touch. Mm. Beets won't eat them. Why? Because that juice runs all over. It stains
so
everything.
True.
Like a pink shirt with your white socks in the washer.
Try the golden
gravy.
Beets.
Gravy can touch the meat and mashed potatoes, and that's it. Make a potato barricade to keep the gravy where it belongs and prevent contamination. Don't want my salad to get beets and gravy on it? No, I'm not a madman. Well, I am, but not because of that. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Oh, Teddy, did you get my friend request?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to check.
Expired. Expired.
Traveler, traveler, come stay a while. After all those weary miles. Traveler, traveler, come find some rest. For the road is long and the world unkind. For the road is long and the world unkind. Traveler, oh traveler, come back again. For the door is always open wide. Traveler, oh traveler, when journey's end, won't you find your way back here again? Won't you find your way back here again? Cause I don't know where you're going anymore, or what you'll see along the way. Whether near or far, you'll always have a place to stay. In a foreign land, you've made a home. It's the first time you've been on your own. Well, it takes a while to find your way, to find your rest for another day. Rest for another day. The time will pass and days may seem the same, but when you look back, you'll see everything's changed. It's all been rearranged. The leaves may fall and my hairs may turn to gray. Storms may rage and the world may have its say. But aren't we all just clay in the maker's hands? Back then, my little girl, you'll always be. You'll always be a part of me. You'll always be a part of me. So rest easy, my traveler, rest easy. Rest easy, my little girl, rest easy. My traveler's friends, confide in my little girl, confide in. Children come to know the reason why I planted deep below.